and welcome to another episode of Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Kaliole Colonna. Now, many times when we talk about our state politics, a bulk of the attention is placed on Santa Fe and Albuquerque. That's understandable, as the former is the state capital and the latter is the largest city in the state, but it's important not to overlook the rest of the land of enchantment, specifically the southern part of New Mexico. That's where recreational cannabis, the red flag law, and the spaceport are some of the issues taking center stage. My guest today is Aldernan Damasa from the Las Cruces Sun News. He's going to give you some insight on what's happening in southern New Mexico and why it matters. Your New Mexico Government starts now. Back at you with Your New Mexico Government. My guest today is Mr. Aldernan Damasa. He is a reporter for the Las Cruces Sun News, and we're going to talk about some of the issues that are taking place at the Roundhouse and how they specifically affect the southern part of the state. Aldernan, how are you, my friend? Thanks for being with me.
Well, good. How are you doing, Khalil?
I'm doing well. So we're talking about the southern part of the state and what's going on at the Roundhouse and how it will affect it. Now, there's a couple of issues. The one issue I want to bring up, and the one I'm most excited about, the spaceport. It seems that I believe later this year, Virgin Galactic is looking at beginning some of their commercial flights for space tourism. And in recent days, it was announced that two new companies are moving into the spaceport. So it looks like everything is going well in that part of the state. Is that actually the case?
Well, we certainly hope so. Spaceport America represents a really large public investment. This was built at a cost of about $220 million in public funding between 2006 and 2012 is when it was substantially completed, with this big promise that it would be the home of a whole bunch of new aerospace industry, including the first launch of commercial space travel.
Okay. So that's taking place. That's happening. We're on track, supposedly. Now, what about the long-term benefits of having the spaceport down there and bringing all of these companies in? Do local officials feel like it's going to have long-term benefits, and are they seeing benefits currently?
There is a lot of public-facing optimism about it, partly because of the public investment and partly because there does seem to be real potential in the operations at the spaceport. Not only the fact that Virgin Galactic is aiming to begin launching the first commercial passengers into space, but also the opportunities for research and development at the spaceport and all of the jobs, high-paying industry jobs that may come with that. Critics have looked at the Spaceport America model as being a little bit undefined in the past. What are we really building out there in the desert, and is it just going to amount to some strange-looking buildings that sit in the Jornada del Muerto Basin, or are we actually going to be building a new hub for industry there? And so the spaceport put out an economic impact report during the legislative session at the end of January to say, yes, we actually believe that New Mexico has already recouped the investment it made in building the spaceport, and now it's just going to be continued growth touching a number of sectors in the economy.
So that sounds like good news and something to look forward to. I look forward to taking a ride on space. I hear that it's going for $250,000. I'm waiting until it drops down to the price of a bus pass, but I'll be waiting a while on that.
Well, you know what? There's another way that this might affect you, actually, which is that it's not just going up into space and coming back down. What Virgin Galactic is on the cusp of doing is changing point-to-point travel on the Earth, because what now becomes possible, and Boeing has invested in Virgin Galactic specifically for this interest, is that you may see air travel that takes you up into suborbit and then down at another destination on Earth for a much faster trip. And that is really a major innovation that isn't getting as much coverage yet, but we may be hearing a lot more about.
I like that idea. So essentially a trip from New York to London, instead of taking, what I hear, it's like 9-12 hours, instead of that it's maybe 2 hours.
It can cut down travel times for travelers, as well as think about the possibilities for logistics. If you are in Italy and you would like some chilies, you want some Hatch green chilies, it suddenly becomes a different kind of trip to negotiate making that transaction.
Wow. Wow, I like that. I like what the future holds for us there. Now, speaking of being in space, but in totally different terms, recreational cannabis. It is a hot button issue across the state. What does it look like in the southern part of New Mexico?
Well, there's a lot of interest in this here and a lot of divided opinion, and there seems to be a generational divide to some extent. The prospect of legalizing cannabis for recreational use is currently making its way through the session. Down here at in Doña Ana County, for instance, we border not only the nation of Mexico, but we also border the state of Texas, where recreational cannabis is still illegal. Now, in other states that have legalized cannabis for recreational use, what has happened is you have seen the counties that border states that don't have legal cannabis having even larger sales than other parts of the state because, ha ha ha, if you're in Idaho and you want to buy legal cannabis, you're going to go to Oregon, perhaps.
Yeah.
And so that border effect has amounted to a huge multiplier for the economic activity from recreational cannabis. However, there are also a lot of lawmakers and a lot of law enforcement officers who are concerned about the other unintended consequences of making cannabis more available and legally.
I understand that. Now, part of their concerns, could their concerns be ameliorated or assuaged if they were promised additional funds in law enforcement to fight those potential concerns should they come around? Has anybody been talking about that? Like, yes, we're going to make the move to legalize recreational cannabis, and we understand your concerns, law enforcement, and we're going to give you the supplies, the resources to address those concerns.
Certainly. So, you know, when you're talking about something that's going to boost revenue, the state has been talking to local governments and law enforcement about maybe we can take some of that revenue and dedicate it to safety programs. Now, for instance, the mayor of Las Cruces, Ken Miyagashima, who is opposed to legalizing cannabis, said that seems a little backwards, that it seems like, well, first you create this problem and then you use the money from the cannabis sales to help remediate the problem. He said that to him, that just seems like a backward approach, although it should be noted that the Las Cruces City Council voted 6-1 to support the state resolution to the legislation to legalize it. So the mayor is out on his own on that issue.
Yeah, from what I read, the mayor was the single opposing vote in that. So it looks like it has a good amount of support for the economic benefits that it's going to bring to the southern part of the state. Let's see, because a lot of people, they feel like in this 30-day session, since it's largely dedicated to budget issues, that this is something that's going to have to wait until next year. How do you feel about that?
We'll see. I mean, they are trying to get this through because they feel that it is budget related, or at least revenue related. But of course, we're now past the halfway point in the session and they're running out of time. That's the nature of these 30-day sessions.
Yeah, we got to make it happen. And speaking of, probably the hottest issue is the red flag law, the extreme risk protection order. A lot of county sheriffs, a lot of county and rural law enforcement officers have gone on the record saying that they will not enforce this law should it pass. Is that the feeling in the southern part of the state with law enforcement?
With some counties, most certainly. We have one outlier. Doña Ana County Sheriff Kim Stewart was actually at the governor's side this year when the governor announced that she was going to make another attempt to get a red flag bill passed through the roundhouse. But other sheriffs are opposed. They've raised a couple of different issues. And one issue is they just think that it's bad policy, that it's going to tie deputies up in complicated legal procedures and perhaps in some circumstances into dangerous situations where they feel, or at least they argue, that there are laws on the books that allow law enforcement to intervene if somebody's having a behavioral health crisis. That said, there's also just a lot of mistrust. A lot of people think that this is not really an attempt at a good safety policy, but rather an attempt to chip away at Second Amendment rights. And with those opponents, I think it's really hard to propose a compromise because they just don't trust the intent.
And I was about to ask that, seeing that they're opposed to it, has anyone else come up with other measures to ensure public safety, particularly from those who are at risk to themselves or others, but also to be able to ensure that people have their Second Amendment rights where they don't have to look at law enforcement or lawmakers skeptically? Is there anyone coming up with any alternatives?
So a Senate committee just actually passed through a modified version of the bill yesterday, and in this one, the petitions would be limited, the enforcement would be limited to law enforcement officers would have to make the petition on behalf of family members rather than having family members petition a court for an emergency order. The objection was that people in domestic disputes, divorce cases, child custody cases that are disputed might weaponize this and yeah. use it to target one another. And so the modified version that is now being considered by the Senate would actually say that only law enforcement officers could petition the courts for such orders. And to do that, there would have to be a sworn affidavit supporting the claim that somebody is a risk to themselves or others.
So that would involve a little bit more police resources, just from what I'm thinking, because if I were to make a claim against someone, I would then have to have law enforcement come assess said claim and then provide enough evidence to get the affidavit in the first place, right?
Exactly. So some sheriffs are saying that this would create more work, that you know, a sheriff in San Juan County may be dealing with an order that comes from a court in Doña Ana County. And besides this, there's also a provision that law enforcement officers who decline to enforce the law could be held liable, and the law enforcement community, a lot of people just don't feel like they want to have their hand forced in that way.
Yeah, that makes it very, very tricky. What do you see the outcome for the community? Because as you said, it's something that's created a lot of mistrust. And, you know, as you can, all you have to do is turn on cable news at any time of day and you can see how deeply divided at least the media is reporting the country to be. Is that the sense down in the southern part of the state? Are people still able to work on other measures even and issues, even though they don't see eye to eye on this one?
On governing boards, yes. I mean, Republicans and Democrats work together. But when it comes to politics, when it comes to electoral politics, these are hot issues, and the rhetoric does get very hot. As far as whether this protective order bill actually becomes law, I think it might be, you know, it remains to be seen how often it would actually be used. But it will certainly be very present in the political rhetoric that will prevail. And, of course, 2020 pretty big election year.
Mm-hmm. So this is not going away anytime soon. Well, before I let you go, what else is affecting the southern part of the state that we may not be talking about here in the central and northern part of the state?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is just federal policies on immigration and how that affects economic development. There's a lot of people down here who are trying to build on this economic zone between El Paso, Texas, southern New Mexico, and Chihuahua, Mexico, and all of the opportunity for logistics and research and development in this region. And that gets complicated when trade policies and immigration policies interfere with that free flow. And so you'll continue to hear a lot of advocacy down here for trade deal. People are very happy about the new trade pact that replaced NAFTA. Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to look for some more progress on immigration enforcement and helping goods flow more easily through our ports of entry down here.
All right. Well, you made it a point to have us pay attention to that situation, because what happens in one part of the state affects us all. My guest, Mr. Algernon DeMassa from the Las Cruces Sun News, I want to thank you so much for being with me and for your reporting. You have to come back on the show again before we're done.
Happy to be here, Khalil. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. And that's about all the time we have for today's episode of Your New Mexico Government. Special thanks to my guest, Algernon DeMassa from the Las Cruces Sun News. Thanks for being on the show. You should really check out their work at home. Algernon has a great investigative story on what took place when a police officer met a high school intern and the inappropriate relationship that ensued. Check out that and more at lcsun-news.com. Be sure to tune in to YNMG tomorrow when my guest is Lee Cantor from the Santa Fe Reporter. We talk about the solar possibilities for New Mexico and what that looks like in law. Your New Mexico Government is produced by yours truly. It's executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. Your NM Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our legislative coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation and the New Mexico Local News Fund. For everyone here at KUNM Studios, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening.